Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC on Super Monday, the day before Super Tuesday. And so we will talk in just a minute with ABC News White House correspondent Jake Tapper and Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio and Television. Ohio is said to be the most important state on Super Tuesday tomorrow, and we'll get to them in just a minute. But we want to unveil our own Super Monday special, and that is because we, as you know, are in the middle of our winter pledge drive, and we're working toward a very specific goal today. We're going to try a little experiment and see if we can take Super Tuesday off from pledging altogether. There's a lot to cover tomorrow and a lot to talk about, and we're going to try to do it completely pledge-free and then finish up the drive later in the week. But in order to do that, we have to make enough money today to contribute toward the operating expenses of the station that we would normally make for today and tomorrow. And that would mean about 3,400 of you calling in sometime today and making your pledges of support. Don't worry about the other 3,399 people. Just take care of your own pledge for 2012. And we're going to see if we can make this latest experiment in shortening the pledge drives — we've done it other ways in some previous drives — work. And that would be an entire pledge-free day. And I don't think we've ever done that before in the middle of the drive. So please get your support in right now. And we'll have an entire Super Tuesday special on The Brian Lehrer Show tomorrow morning. If we could do it without any pledging, that would be great. And in addition, let me just mention that we have a matching grant right now from very generous Board of Trustee member Billy Tisch. She will donate a dollar for every $2 that you pledge. So a 50% bump up in your pledge money right now. Thank you for calling 1-888-376-WNYC. That's 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And thanks. We'll talk about it more later in the hour. So just a little kickoff to our Super Monday experiment today. Hope we'll hear from all of you who are going to pledge anyway and some of you who will decide to do it now. And we'll have Super Tuesday pledge free tomorrow morning. 1-888-376-WNYC. And this match is in effect, 50% more than whatever you pledge, at 1-888-376-9692. Thanks to Billy Tisch. Help take as much as her money as she's willing to put out there. And you can pledge online as well at WNYC.org. Thanks so much to all of you for considering it. Now, with Super Tuesday tomorrow, ABC News White House correspondent Jake Tapper and Joe Ingles, State House reporter for Ohio Public Radio and Television, are my first guests today. Jake and Joe, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Joe, let me start with you in Ohio, just one of 10 Super Tuesday states, but many people are saying it's the most important one. Why do you think that is?
Well, Ohio has this deep tradition that no Republican has ever won the presidency without winning Ohio first. We have 66 delegates here, and typically Ohio seems to accurately choose who will be the GOP nominee. So, you know, all eyes are on us right now.
Jake, on the pure math of the horse race, I've heard that if Santorum loses Ohio, he might be done, and if Gingrich loses Georgia, he might be done. I'm not sure I believe it, especially in Santorum's case. But what's the wisdom as far as you can tell?
Well, I think that that's probably would have been true under the old rules in 2008 in terms of, A, the old Republican National Committee rules in terms of how delegates are allocated. It used to be much more winner-take-all than it is now. And, B, under the old campaign finance rules, because what we have now is a candidacy like Newt Gingrich's, which would have ended likely weeks ago, if not before, is able to keep going because of the super PAC that supports him and keeps his name out there on the public's tongue because of these omnipresent Super PAC TV ads that are running in Super Tuesday states, and keeps him in the game to a lesser extent. That is also true with Rick Santorum. So I don't think either man is out, regardless of the results on Tuesday. I think both of them feel, at least for the time being, that they have a case to make, and that in this race that has been so fluid, anything could happen, and that obviously Mitt Romney has not sealed the deal yet.
I'm curious, Joe, how the Rush Limbaugh issue is playing in Ohio and how big it is. Limbaugh calling a Georgetown University student a prostitute and a slut for speaking out, testifying before Congress in favor of health plans covering contraception. And let's just play a little bit of what Rush Limbaugh said, which has led to a rare apology by him for something that he says on his radio show, but also seems to have implications for the presidential race. Here's Limbaugh himself.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Nice. So Rush Limbaugh is losing sponsors over this. Seven at last count, including Pro Flowers, Quicken Loans, LegalZoom, and others. Here's how Rick Santorum tried to sort of distance himself from it in the last few days.
Well, he's taking, you know, he's being absurd. But that's, you know, an entertainer can be absurd. And he's taking the absurd, point of view here as to how far do you go. And he's in a very different business than I am. I'm concerned about the public policy of this president imposing his values on people people of faith who morally object to the government telling them they have to do something which they believe is a grave moral wrong.
So Santorum somewhat distancing himself, but there's a fundamental underlying issue that they agree on. Here is Romney distancing himself even more and just trying not to get into it.
Governor, anything on Rush?
How to say this, which is, it's not the language I would have used. I'm focusing on the issues that I think are significant in the country today, and that's why I'm here talking about jobs in Ohio.
So he's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. Embrace Rush Limbaugh, condemn Rush Limbaugh. I want to talk about jobs. So Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio, is this just a media issue or is it a voter issue?
Well, if you look and talk to people around here, a lot of people have heard that, the comment from Rush Limbaugh. They know what that's about, and they don't seem to be, you know, they kind of expect him to be out there making those kind of comments because he does that a lot on his show. But what you referenced, and it's really true, is that underlying issue there. That has gotten some question from voters, and they're wondering why, we have this personhood amendment here in Ohio, which would give rights to a fertilized egg, and that's looming. They want to collect the signatures to put that on the ballot. Now, it's not going to be on the ballot this year, but it is out there, and people know about that. And the fundamental underlying issue of birth control, contraception, those kind of things, that is out there, and people are questioning that, not so much Limbaugh's, you know, comment itself.
So, Jake Tapper, when Limbaugh says her testimony indicated that she wanted to be paid to have sex, what was he distorting there?
I don't even know where to begin. I think the point is, and I agree with Joe, is that there is a public policy debate to be had here that I think Republicans would rather be talking about than you know, how Rush Limbaugh crassly described this woman, who, and obviously he apologized to her in a statement on Saturday. I think the point that he was trying to make was, or rather, let me not speak for Rush Limbaugh. Let me say the point that Republicans are talking about, which is, why should health care coverage that includes contraception be covered, whether it's by private insurers or by taxpayers through the subsidies that eventually will be part of the Obama health care legislation. Why should contraception be covered? That is the debate I think that Republicans are talking about. And I think the other issue with Sandra Fluck, the Georgetown Law student, is that she said things in her testimony, and, you know, I don't think her testimony got a lot of coverage when it happened because it was a Democratic-only hearing and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an actual congressional hearing in the way you have in a committee with both parties present, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This was a Democratic hearing. But she said things that probably could stand a fact-checking, things along the lines of birth control pills can cost up to $1,250 a year, and that sort of thing. And I think what conservatives were upset about was the fact that she made these claims and the media just let her make them. Now that obviously I don't think that justifies smearing her name or her character, but I think that was the larger issue. And I think long after this Rush Limbaugh thing is done, there is this issue of women's health care as one framing, religious liberty as the other framing, and it's an issue that could certainly resonate with voters, both with on both sides, frankly.
And most people are saying, well, to the extent that the conversation, Joe Ingles, is about contraception, that's a losing issue for the Republican Party.
Right.
That you know, you don't want to say abortion and contraception in the same breath, usually, because one is seen as a legitimate controversy by a lot of people, and the other really is not. But I understand that it goes so far in the Ohio legislature now that talk about gender equality. There's a bill to somehow regulate men's bodies.
Yeah, that came out Friday. One of the senators, who's a very outspoken senator, Nina Turner, she proposed, if you want Viagra, Cialis, any of these performance-enhancing drugs, that first you would have to go to a psychiatrist and get a psychiatrist to sign off on it before you could get the prescription for it. Now, you know, everyone, the way that it was put out there, it's very, you know, everyone thinks it's tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, I couldn't get her to admit that. So, you know, it is an actual bill.
Do you think these things are going to generate additional turnout by any block of voters in the Ohio primary tomorrow?
Well, you know, that's what we've been trying to figure out. We've been looking at all of this, Brian, and there are a few things that are different this time around, and it's hard to gauge how they'll play out. One of the things is that this year, for the first time, you can go over and you can vote in the other party without having to pledge your allegiance to that party. Before you had to sign a form that said, you know, I buy into all their principles and their ideas and whatever. And now you don't have to sign that. You can just say, I'd like a Republican ballot, please. And you can vote Republican if you'd like in the primary. The question is, how many Democrats will actually do that? Before we saw, when we did have the oath, we saw some Democrats who would come over and they would vote in the Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama primary. They voted in that. So we did see that crossover before we even had, you know, got rid of this oath. And now that we've gotten rid of this oath, will that open the door to more crossover from the Democrats going over and voting in the Republican primary? That's a big question. And we don't know how some of these issues that they've been talking about will actually play out when people go to the ballot box. We do know that when you look at Rick Santorum's numbers, he has more support from men than women. But it's hard to tell all these variables. And then we've got the issue that Rick Santorum is not eligible for delegates in three congressional districts because his organization didn't file the forms they needed to file by the deadlines in those districts.
Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio, Jake Tapper, ABC News White House correspondent. And, Jake, I want to play a clip of President Obama that I don't think got a whole lot of press, but seemed to capitalize to some degree on this whole brouhaha over what Republicans mean by values and how extreme it might seem to some people. And with values voters on the Republican side talking mostly in terms of sexual issues, President Obama, and I think this was in Ohio last week too, you tell me, offering his own take on values. Listen.
can tell you. I keep on hearing these same folks talk about values all the time. You want to talk about values? Hard work, that's a value. Looking out for one another, that's a value. The idea that we're all in it together and I'm my brother's keeper and sister's keeper, that's a value.
So, Jake, a little biblical reference there, but coming at it from more of a liberal or a progressive standpoint. I'm surprised we don't hear more talk like that in general from Democrats, but why was the president on it that way the other day?
Well, I think that social issues are going to play a big role in this election. They really didn't play much of one in 2008, obviously during the economic crisis and John McCain emphasizing foreign policy and counterterrorism. They did, and John McCain was not considered a reliable conservative on social issues, fairly or not. So they didn't really play a big issue in 2008. I think they will, both because the economy is recovering to a degree and also because the Obama people and the other people who may be, you know, the Romney people, the Santorum people, et cetera, feel this is, you know, this could be a very, very tight election and every little bit counts. That's why you have, I mean, you're going to see it's a kitchen sink campaign. Everything is going to be thrown at Obama. Everything's going to be thrown at Romney or whoever the Republican nominee is. And it's why you keep hearing comments about Romney putting his dog's kennel on the top of his car in 1983 or whenever it was, because the Obama people and Democrats are confident that could turn some people off. And in a pinch, if it's, you know, one woman voter in every congressional district, who knows what that will mean. So I think values are going to be on the table, and I think President Obama is going to make the, you know, liberal Christian case that there are values other than the traditional anti-gay marriage and conservative version of this. Yeah,
all right.
The Jim Wallace
version. The liberal pastor Jim Wallace. Well, it's certainly going to be a kitchen sink election tomorrow, Super Tuesday, from Georgia to Alaska. And we thank ABC News senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper and Joe Ingles, State House correspondent for Ohio, public radio and television, for joining us on the day before. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our next guest is David Eisenhower, grandson of the former president, will recall President Eisenhower's talk 20 years ago in his farewell address about the military-industrial complex, not embracing it, but warning against its power. And we'll talk to David Eisenhower about his afterword in the pocket U.S. Constitution that we're giving away as a thank you gift in the membership drive. So David Eisenhower, grandson of Dwight, coming up next. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.